Title: Lessons Learned, Tips on How to Allege and Argue Trade Secret Misappropriation at a Preliminary Injunction Hearing. Content: Since its passage in 2016, the Defend Trade Secrets Act, DTSA, has increasingly become a valuable tool for employers seeking to enjoin former employees and competitors from misappropriating trade secrets. However, in requests for preliminary injunctive relief, companies often struggle with adequately alleging a likelihood of success on the merits of their claims under both the DTSA and state trade secret laws. A recent case filed in the Northern District of Illinois, Courts Incorporated v. Doheny Enterprises Incorporated, exemplifies this struggle and offers valuable lessons when moving for a preliminary injunction on a trade secret misappropriation claim. Plaintiff Courts Incorporated sells swimming pool and spa products, and defendant Tim Murphy worked for Courts as the director of purchasing. After Courts terminated Murphy for his refusal to sign a retention bonus containing a 2-year non-compete agreement, he was hired by Doheny Enterprises Incorporated, a direct competitor. Courts then filed a complaint and sought a preliminary injunction against Murphy and Doheny, alleging, among other things, violations of DTSA and the Illinois Trade Secrets Act, ITSA. The court denied Courts's request for a preliminary injunction because Courts failed to present sufficient evidence it was likely to succeed on the merits of its claims. Specifically, the court found that Courts's vendor pricing was not a trade secret and further concluded there was no evidence of misappropriation. Lesson 1. Identify your trade secrets with particularity. Courts alleged that its financial information constituted a trade secret, citing the language of the DTSA and ITSA, which include in their definitions of trade secret financial information and financial data, respectively. However, the court held that the category of financial information was not a trade secret, citing the Seventh Circuit's instruction that it is not enough to point to broad areas of information and assert that they are trade secrets. Instead, a plaintiff must show concrete secrets. Thus, a plaintiff alleging trade secret misappropriation must be able to point to specific types of financial information in order to adequately state a claim. Broad descriptions, without more detail, will not meet this threshold. Courts narrowed financial information to vendor pricing, which the court accepted as a specifically narrow type of trade secret, but it ultimately failed to show that its vendor pricing actually constituted a trade secret. Lesson 2. To demonstrate that confidential information is a trade secret, offer evidence of more than just the measures taken to maintain its secrecy. To demonstrate that its vendor pricing is a trade secret, courts offered evidence of the measures it took to maintain its secrecy. For example, courts introduced evidence that, 1. Vendors signed vendor agreements containing confidentiality clauses, 2. A vendor testified that courts keeps vendor prices confidential, and, 3. Courts entered into non-disclosure agreements with Doheny and Murphy when there were talks about a potential sale of courts to Doheny, which ultimately fell through. Although courts showed it took measures to maintain the secrecy of its vendor pricing, the court found this was not enough. Courts did not present evidence regarding any other factors that Illinois courts consider in deciding whether a trade secret exists, including the extent to which the information is known outside of the plaintiff's business, the extent to which the information is known by employees and others involved in the plaintiff's business, the extent of measures taken by the plaintiff to guard the secrecy of the information, the value of the information to the plaintiff's business and to its competitors, the amount of time, effort, and money expended by the plaintiff in developing the information, and the ease or difficulty with which the information could be properly acquired or duplicated by others. These elements go to the core question of whether or not information actually constitutes a protectable trade secret. At the most fundamental level, information must be commercially valuable and generally unknown outside plaintiff's operations. Merely alleging that information is treated as a secret is not enough. Lesson 3. Evidence introduced at a preliminary injunction hearing must be admissible, credible, and are